impressive. Most impressive.
You're listening to Custom Action Figure News with Lucas Clones and Tamer, bringing you the art and artists of action figure customs. Over to you, Commander.
A great victory for Cobra.
All right, folks, welcome once again to another episode of Custom Action Figure News. This is going to be episode 51. And tonight we are doing another roundtable, and this time the roundtable topic is going to be the state of collecting. So this will be actually be our second roundtable on the state of collecting. And Sean, are you back on?
Hey, I think everything's in the green, guys.
All right, very good. And so of course me and Sean are on, and we have two very special guests with us tonight from Jedi Temple Archives. We have Paul Harrison. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right, very good. And also tonight we have Dan Curto from the Curto Burns Podcast. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Good night to be joining you. I'm sorry I was a little bit late.
Oh, no, that's okay. We were still, you know, we're still getting everything together, so you were actually perfect on time. So,
cool.
All right, and we're going to get into the roundtable in just a few minutes, but as always, Sean does have a few announcements that he's going to try to get through quickly because we have a lot to cover tonight, don't we, Sean?
Well, let's just say I made up a pretty large outline for us to get to, and there's no doubt we'll probably get to it all, and... Hey, I can see we have Tangster on the live feed already. And don't forget, folks, we are live on the front page of Imperial Shipyards. And you can actually use your Facebook or your Twitter app, your ID, to actually interact with us live while we're talking. It's one pretty cool setup, Chad. We're getting techie, bud.
Oh, yeah, I know. I really like it. I think this is one of my favorite things that we've added so far.
So don't forget about that. And I do have a few announcements. I'm going to try to get through those very quickly. Of course, the first one I have to talk about is we are currently working on a customizing contest for what you think we might see for Episode 7. Who knows what that might be. But you just simply have to create simply one custom action figure and post it in the contest thread at Imperial Shipyards and appropriate place at Yak Face. And you can be entered twice for the random prize drawing. And we've got some pretty nice swag for this one. Sideshow items and even had to throw in an old Gentle Giant Veers bus. So I think that was pretty cool. So stay tuned for that one. And I'd definitely be remiss if I didn't give a big shout out to Dan Koza, a.k.a. the Spectre, as we know him on Imperial Shipyards. He has agreed to join the Imperial Shipyard staff, and he is going to cover most of the Northeast conventions for us. Matter of fact, he was going to cover Toy Fair 2013 before the Superstorm Nemo decided that it wasn't going to cooperate with us.
You're killing me.
Well, Dan knows a little bit about that, too.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, we want to...
Paul made it.
Yeah. It wasn't the same...
Paul got there. You and Chuck were running around in tennis shoes, from what I understand, right?
Yeah, we sure did make it by the skin of our teeth. But I have to tell you, it wasn't the same this year. Not seeing our friends, you know, it's just not the same type of event. Miss Dan and James and a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I hear you. And,
yeah, that is the fun part about doing the shows like that is just, you know, getting back together with everybody who you see, like, maybe twice a year if you're lucky. But, you know, Paul and I, we chat all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you two actually have a co-authored a pretty nifty little reference guide there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, I'm referring to the Ultimate Action Figure Collection that those two did with Steve Sansweet. I mean, I haven't put it away since I bought it, and if you want to talk about a pretty daggone nice, literally a pictorial database of, you know, just kind of an A to Z over 2,500 action figures produced over the last 35 years. And I'll be honest, if you collect Star Wars 3 3/4 inch, I don't see how you can't have that particular book. For the simple reason now, some of the older figures that have been produced, I hate to say it, but and we're going to talk about that during this podcast, but some of them are actually going to, from what I can see now, be superior to the ones that they're getting ready to produce. So you might just want to hold off on some of those purchases until you get that book and can make sure the new one you're buying meets your quality standard, so to speak. But guys, that's just an awesome book, and thanks for giving us a great reference guide.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was all Steve.
Yeah.
Got to mention Steve Sansweet, because he's the brains behind it, and he brought me on, and then Paul on, and Ann Newman, of course, runs Rancho Obi-Wan with him. So, it was a lot of fun, a lot of work, and I'm glad that you find it useful, believe me.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, I think, a must-have book for any person that's into Star Wars 3 3/4 inch figures.
I keep mine right next to the old action figure archive, so it's a nice companion book.
I hear you. And, to see pictures of Dan and Paul and Steve Sansweet and Ann Newman, we've kind of, the front page has a little slideshow. We were previewing that all day long. Some of you may have been wondering who some of those folks were, and that's who they are. So that's pretty cool. Last announcement, Chab, I just have to do it. Kulon has been producing a, I don't know if you call it a web comic or, fan fiction, but it's called Tales from the Clone Wars. And today we had a Mandalorian Civil War going on in the forums. I mean, just absolutely graphically pleasing. Check out the front page of Imperial Shipyards. And if you haven't seen any of it yet, this was Volume 3, Issue 8, so you've got a little bit of catching up to do, but I'm telling you, if you do it, you won't regret that time. Like I said, just Kulon is really ripping out just some awesome graphics and just a great storyline, and I don't know if you've had a chance to get to see that today yet or not, Chad.
No, well, I saw the front page story, but I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. I've been a little bit busy at work. But,
yeah.
Hey, Sean, can I make a real quick What's the Deal Hasbro Facebook announcement?
Yeah, I figured you would.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to announce that we did get the little sign to hang on the pegs created, but we had some feedback on the wording, and so we've changed the wording. So if you have already requested to have that shared, I've uploaded the new little sign that you can print out and take to your local empty peg, store with the empty pegs and hang it, and I'll be adding the emails to that now. So the one that's up there, if you want to, you can print that out. But what the feedback was basically that the sign, the way it was written the first time is kind of putting too much blame on the stores and that not enough blame on Hasbro. So we've rewritten it due to some feedback on the Facebook page, and that's all I wanted to say. So go, and thank you for all the likes, guys.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of frustration out there. All right. You ready to get into it, Chad?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're here tonight to talk about the current state of Star Wars collecting, and I will admit it's heavily inundated, towards the 3 3/4 inch side. And I think, once again, our guest podcasters tonight, Paul and Dan, are definitely no strangers to that particular type of plastic. And I'm very interested to get their take on what they think about the current state of, collecting 3 3/4 inch and some of the decisions that Hasbro has made and whether they think it's good, bad, or ugly in some of the cases here. But I guess, Paul, we'll start with you. When we talked last, I'm going to say this was toward the end of June 2012, and this is where we were kind of seeing Hasbro tell us that they were going to try to fix some of the distribution issues, and they were going to re-release some of the, favorite figures from the vintage waves, like, Fordo, just to name one. And I just want to get your take, since we talked last, do you think that distribution has improved?
I don't think there's been any new product to test it. I mean, they canceled our 2013 Yoda line look product. Only, I mean, you're only going to see that if you're outside the USA, unfortunately. The filler vintage, you know, the stopgap vintage collection stuff hasn't really hit yet. That was supposed to be due this month. So, you know, we haven't seen that pick up. What we're seeing is old cases, like the deleted scenes waves are hitting Toys R Us, you know, a year after the fact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still all over the place. I don't think we're going to get a good taste of that until the fall when the Black series hits. And the new Saga Legends, the rebirth of the Saga Legends line. Dan could probably give more insight on that.
Yeah, Dan, what are your thoughts on distribution?
Well, distribution is plagued Hasbro for the past several years now, especially this past year. And I know they have plans to try and catch up. So the best way to do that, I think the decision was made to stop for a while. So 2013, we're not going to see a lot of new product on shelves as they start to catch up with the old product that has been sitting in warehouses or somewhere or on the dockyard somewhere. They don't even know where some of this stuff is. So hopefully they can find it and get it out the store. Some of these lost lines, well, that's actually a bad word. Some of these lost... Right.
They really are lost, aren't they? Yes.
They really are lost, and you know,
oh my gosh,
they would hit onesie twosie things, but not at the brick and mortar stores. So if you're an online collector, you probably were able to pick up, you know, in this case, the vintage collection from last year, but not if you hit your normal, you know, Toys R Us, Target, Walmart stores. So I think we're going to start seeing some surprise releases,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, they did announce the greatest hits, in quotes. I'm doing air quotes, which you can't see, so that's effective. so I don't know whose greatest hits they were, because if you ask me, there are a lot of other figures that probably would have been better slotted for that.
Yeah, and just to echo what Dan was saying, they don't even know where the Naboo Starfighter is.
Yeah.
I asked them point blank, when are we going to see that? They have no idea where it is.
What was the look on your face when they answered you that way, Paul?
I was so stunned by their answers that I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
You felt like you were spun around with the answers.
Well, here's the other thing, and I've said this before. To be fair to Hasbro, they kind of got screwed, really, this year.
Yeah.
Because there was supposed to be Episode 2 in theaters now.
Yeah.
And then that got pushed back to the fall and teamed up with Episode 3 and then outright canceled. So, you know, what are we doing, folks?
Yeah. It's a lot of changes going on.
Yeah.
You know, as things are progressing and... Big, big changes.
Well, and that's one thing I wasn't planning to get into quite this early, but do you guys think this was an evil plot by Disney to perhaps sabotage the favorite Star Wars-making toy company so they could pick it up later themselves?
I do not.
Okay.
Some of these decisions were based on the movie theater release. Some of them, I mean, let's face it, the economy is pretty bad, and people just really can't afford to buy a 3¾ action figure for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if we were looking at the Droid Factory they had planned for this year, you know, that would have probably driven the price up $11-$12. I mean, you know, I don't even want to pay that, let alone kids going to be able to afford it. So when they canceled Droid Factory, I knew something was up. I did not anticipate the, you know, overseas-only Clone Wars and movie heroes, but I knew something was going to happen. I had hoped, and I'd actually been told this at one point, that they were going to continue vintage in the fall, but with the Droid Factory figures, and then that changed to the Black series.
Hmm. That would have been the smartest move.
I agree, as you know.
So what do you think, Paul? I mean, do you think this is really just kind of Hasbro trying to catch up, Disney just kind of trying to get a feel for what they want to do with the movies, and it just happens to be just bad circumstances all the way around?
I've never been persuaded that Disney's, you know, been a problem or has influenced this in any way. It's too early.
Okay.
I still think things are status quo. There might be some reorganization of the lines and stuff, but I agree with Dan. I don't think it's not Disney's fault, quote unquote.
I think the whole thing about Disney buying up Hasbro is just basically an internet rumor that people have kind of cooked up on their own. I don't think there's been anything really official about that at all that I've seen.
I think it's a possibility, but
nothing
nothing official.
But I mean, we're starting to see. I think we're seeing Disney's influence more in the multimedia arena rather than the collectibles. So
yeah.
Obviously, the recent announcement that the Clone Wars has been canceled, Detours is delayed indefinitely. I guess I don't know, and there's some secret new series in the works. I don't know what any of that means, really, but it kind of explains why the Clone Wars line is ending, or ended, I suppose.
Yeah. I hear you. Ahsoka.
No support, no multimedia support. Why would Hasbro bother continuing it?
Right. I also kind of think that, really, the Clone Wars line ended last year. We didn't realize it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, because, I mean, the figure selection, if you look at 2011, I mean, they were really cranking out a lot of brand new sculpts, a lot of, you know, rare characters, in addition to the clone and Jedi characters. But you saw a lot of, like, you know, Embo, Quinlan Vos, Serapas, you know, and last year all we saw was maybe a 3 or 4 new figures and a lot of repaints and kitbashes.
Yeah.
So you could tell it was winding down. For sure.
Yeah, I think I was in a state of denial until until we saw the Walmart 8-packs with the Republic Commandos and the Wolfs and the Rexes, some of these basic figures I never actually got to see on the pegs.
Right.
Yeah, you know when a big figure line goes from 65 figures to 18 is a problem.
Yeah. I still say that there was a lot of opportunity that they could have done. You know, even just simple repaints. I mean, all your clones are episode 3 now, so you got a whole bunch to choose from there. And then you've got some characters that really didn't get widely distributed that could have been brought back, like Darth Sidious, Ahsoka Tano in her new outfit.
Yeah.
It's a shame that they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to Pon Krell? I mean, we were told he was coming.
Yeah, General Krell, where was he?
Maybe one day.
And you know,
maybe they'll put them out in realistic style. That would be awesome if they did that, and it would work for Clone Wars or for realistic figures. So maybe
that's what they said. Any more of the Clone Wars figures made would be done in the realistic style. Is that what you guys understand too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say that some of the later releases of the Clone Wars in 2011, especially, we're already starting to bridge. I mean, if you look at the most recent Cad Bane figure, it was a lot more realistic sculpted than the previous versions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they were a lot more detailed. Even the clone sculpts were starting to become more detailed and not as kind of that simplified cartoony look to them that they had when they first came out.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, the Shadows of the Dark Side phase of the Clone Wars line, that really got me into the television show. Because I wasn't digging it that much. I mean, it was great and good in other spots, but for the first 2 seasons, but by the time the 3rd season came around, I was like really curious to find out about these characters, you know, that were being made into action figures, and I became a fan of the Clone Wars line, and I just couldn't wait for the next collection. And it was the Phantom Menace packaging, and it was just a disappointment. I'm like, oh, how could they reach a peak, you know, from in the 2010-2011 phase, but yet it just goes to pot for 2012 and beyond. It was so disappointing. It was like I saw like a death then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one thing about, you know, the Clone Wars, I think it really reinvigorated a lot of people to start really collecting 3 3/4 inch again. I mean, Chad and I have quite a few friends. That's really all they collect as far as Star Wars figures was the Clone Wars. And, you know, specifically myself, I'm really an original trilogy collector. But, you know, I feel bad for the Clone Wars collectors here in the United States. I mean, it just doesn't seem fair how it just kind of dwindled away for them.
So let me ask you a question, because, you know, that's kind of what I do normally. why do you think that they started only collecting the Clone Wars line as opposed to the ongoing action figure line that's been around since the 70s?
Well, I mean, I'll just take, you know, one of our friends that Chad and I have, you know, he goes by the form handle Wraith9. That was really the only thing he collected, and he mainly focused on, you know, the clone troopers and the astromechs, if you know Jay. But I think for him, he just really loved that animation style, and he like me, I mean, personally, those emaciated frames, I just really, really could do without them. Like I said, I'm more of a realistic collector, but he, I mean, for some folks, you know, I'm probably the worst person in the world to ask that, Dan, because I personally, I didn't really collect a whole lot of them, you know, other than trying to help some of my, you know, friends acquire some of the ones they wanted, but I don't know. Chad, what do you think? You liked some of the Clone Wars figures.
Oh, I was a big, big fan of the Clone Wars line and collected it. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it for a while there, and as you know, for a while there, my dream figure was the Darth Sidious that was really hard to find that I did eventually track down. And I will tell you, you still don't have it?
No.
I will tell you that the main thing that got me into the Clone Wars was new Star Wars stories that were exciting and the fact that I could get involved with it with my kids.
Mm.
And we could share that excitement every week of, you know, both of seeing a new episode, something new, you know, with new characters that were still Star Wars characters, and, you know, conversely, being able to go out to the store and find action figure versions of them, whereas the regular ongoing Star Wars line, as you were saying, to bring it back to what you were asking, Dan, was, you know, a lot of it was characters that, if you were a collector, maybe you already had, and, it was just kind of like the same thing over and over again. And like they do with the Star Wars line a lot, they re-release the same characters over and over and repack figures over and over. And it just gets kind of boring. And it's like listening to somebody with a monotone voice talking, you know, but the Clone Wars was just so new and exciting. And I think that for me is why I got so into it. That's okay. I just thought of something at the end there. The other thing was the figures at first were so well articulated with the removable helmets and the wrists and the ball joint this and that. I mean, that was another thing that was really cool. But go ahead.
One thing I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed getting an animated version of a character that I've loved for so many years before that. You know, whether it's an animated version of Aayla Secura or Obi-Wan Kenobi or Stacy Teen, or even the original trilogy characters like the Jawas, I just thought it was so cool to have like even if you didn't like the Clone Wars, I didn't understand why collectors couldn't just appreciate an animated take on a character, you know, to their realistic counterpart. I thought that was really enjoyable. Like even the 4A7 was like a Death Star droid for me. I just thought that was really cool, and that made it partially fun for me. I mean, I enjoyed the show, undoubtedly, but I really liked, you know, looking for an animated counterpart to the realistic.
See, that's where I was kind of hitting on. I was hoping you guys would answer the question that way, because I think the Clone Wars became popular at first, not only because of the TV show, but because the action figure line was new. I don't know if you remember, Paul, or when they announced that at Toy Fair in 2008, there was a lot of speculation of what this line was going to look like. Nobody knew because we hadn't seen anything. And then Toy Fair comes out, and it's like, okay, all those months of speculation, gone. Now we know. There's two distinct lines. And I think ultimately that hurt Hasbro in the long run because you're basically competing with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
There are not a lot of collectors that collected both lines. But now what I'm wondering is with the 6-inch Black Series, we're once again sort of starting over again in a new scale, a new style, you know, and I wonder how many fans are going to come back and say, wow, this feels like I'm in on the ground floor. And not to mention that, but we got Episode 7 right around the corner.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, and
I think go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm just looking here at, you know, our live stream, A. Prester. I mean, I'm kind of wondering if Hasbro was kind of signaling us all along that the Clone Wars was over, you know, because he has a good point, you know, doesn't it take 18 months for a figure to go from initial sculpt to store, so.
Yes.
Maybe Hasbro knew, and maybe they, I mean, we're all irritated at Hasbro for no more the Clone Wars, but from a business standpoint, doesn't it make a lot of sense for Hasbro to stop making something that's no longer being production as far as the TV show? Good point, Preston.
I would agree with that. I think that, first of all, there's always a lot of toys that are planned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the other factor here, too, is the cost, and we were just talking about this earlier, the cost in making these super articulated figures, whether they're animated style or realistic style, they had the same points of articulation for quite a while there. Mm-hmm. They've risen to the point where it's almost not worth it to make them anymore, which is why we're now seeing the new Saga Legends style, which is kind of a return to vintage Kenner in a way, as far as articulation goes. What do you guys think of that line?
Well, that was our next question.
I know.
Good segue, Dan. You sound like you've done this before.
I know. If I do too much, just let me know.
Oh, that's great. Maybe we just need to sit back and let him roll through this.
No, go ahead. I'll shut up.
No, great fun.
Well, Sean, you kind of took the first one, so I'll kind of intro this next one. And I'll say it like this, Dan, and you talked about a lot of things. You talked about the new Saga Legends format with the 5 points of articulation, and you also mentioned the black line with the 6-inch figures. And I remember over maybe a year ago or whatever, whenever we did this last one, I can even remember saying something like Hasbro's kind of competing against itself. And you're absolutely right. They're trying to catch the same fish with too many fishing rods, basically. And I can just tell you from all the collectors, and most of the collectors that we all talk to are also customizers, they're not planning on buying, if they buy any of these 6-inch figures, they're going to maybe buy one or two, you know, but they're not planning on starting over, as you've said, with the 6-inch line, because most of us are so invested in 3 3/4 scale. The only people that are probably going to hook onto the 6-inch line are just people who are boxed collectors and things like that. And that has to do a lot with the packaging design and how it looks and presents the figure. And a lot of the like I was saying, the friends that we know are also customizers. And with these 5 POA figures that are coming out, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do in terms of customizing because there's no articulation worthy of using that figure for a custom. And, you know, going back to the Clone Wars line, that's another reason why a lot of people got into that line, and myself included, because of the articulation. It was prime, you know, for customizing, because when you make a custom figure, you want it to be super articulated, and if it's not, you try to fix that. But with these figures, there's just not much you can do as far as customs go. So I'm curious to see what your guys' thoughts are. And that's coming from my standpoint as a customizer. I know I will not be buying any of the 6-inch figures The only thing I might consider would be possibly a Boba Fett or a Darth Vader, just because those are, you know, key characters that are really cool. But when it comes to the Saga Legends and the five POAs, no way. I mean, there's nothing I can do with them. So, Paul, what do you think about those lines?
Well, I can tell you Adam Paulus is going to love this collection of figures. his big thing is having action figures being able to sit in their Starfighter. So, you know, this will certainly work. I'm actually borderline impressed with the sculpts. I think they did a really fine job on them. It's as simple as accepting 5 points or not. And I'm not sure if I'm more excited to see a basic figure line in the $5 range again, or I'm more disappointed that they are 5 points of articulation. I think cost is a huge problem for most families these days. It's a really bittersweet thing. I'm kind of stuck in the middle, quite honestly.
All right, Dan, how about you?
Well, I'm certainly no stranger to customizing, as you probably know. I have done a lot of the old Power Force 2 style customs, so there is stuff you can do. It just takes a lot more work. I think we've been spoiled, too, especially since 2007, which I know Paul and I have talked before. That was really like a golden year for Hasbro collectors, and we haven't seen it since. I haven't had the luck to see these in person yet. I mean, I'm probably going to get them, don't get me wrong. But I've seen the Iron Man and the Spider-Man figures in the same style, and I'm not overly impressed. I'd be curious to see how this actually looks in person. Not certain. So there's two thoughts. I mean, the Saga Legends line is geared towards kids. Okay, all toys are geared towards kids to for the most part. The character selections is what's killing it for me, is because they're all based on Episode 2 and 3, which of course is now not coming. So I'd like to see some other characters besides clone repaints and Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we will, because those are not the characters. Like, where's Greedo? We're probably not going to get a Greedo in this style, because kids don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a Stormtrooper coming.
For this line?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We'll get Boba Fett, Darth Vader, you know, Han. We'll get all the main characters. But for right now, we've just seen, you know, prequel Jedi and clones, which is the 6-inch line, I like, and I'm glad that it's only a handful initially.
Oh, I hear you. $20 a pop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I mean, I've gotten several of the larger 6-inch scale figures from, like, NECA or Mattel, and, you know, honestly, I don't really display those. So I'm not a Marvel Legends guy or, you know, the larger characters. I don't have the room. So they end up in storage, you know. I display my Star Wars kit. Well, some of them.
Can I give you my take, Chad?
Go for it, Sean.
Well, I mean, and you guys can, you know, wrap your hands around this one. I mean, I'm sitting here looking right now at my, you know, Gentle Giant vintage jumbos that I absolutely adore, because they look absolutely like their vintage little 3 3/4 counterparts. And I'm kind of thinking that, you know, kind of like you, Dan, if they had perhaps given us some of those, you know, iconic characters and perhaps kept the vintage card backs, I think I might have been able to swallow that pill maybe a little easier. And perhaps been willing to maybe sacrifice. And I do agree with you there. I think we've been very spoiled with some of those figures. Like, I'm just thinking of the realistic style, you know, vintage, you know, Attack of the Clones Trooper, which was just a phenomenal actual sculpt. And, And we are spoiled, and I kind of wonder if they had maybe, I don't know, it's kind of like Castro. I think we were given our dose all at once and told to deal with the taste, and I don't know, it's kind of bittersweet to me as far as those figures with the five POAs. I mean, and I might come around, but I don't know. I mean, that packaging that I saw and kind of envisioning that packaging with those five POA figures, and I'm just kind of thinking, ew.
So are you an opener or a carded collector?
Oh, I'm a carded guy.
Really, articulation doesn't matter to you?
No, not like I said. I have the
those.
I love the Gentle Giant, you know, vintage jumbos, 12-inch versions. They're huge. I don't have the space to display them like I would want to, but yeah, I would think that if perhaps these things, and maybe, you know, somewhere down the line, maybe they will package them in vintage card backs. I don't know. I mean, I don't realistically see me buying a whole lot of them until perhaps I see some better card backs possibly. And as far as the 6-inch goes, and everybody on the site's probably going to roast me alive because most of them are diehard, you know, save the 3 3/4, save the 3 3/4, because they refuse to accept the fact that we can't get that same level of detail and just, you know, beautiful sculpt work that we're seeing on those 6-inch figures. But I like them. I do agree that I hope they don't produce a huge amount of them and release them all at once, because let's face it, we only have so much buck anymore, and at $20 an action figure, I don't know. I'm definitely not going to be able to get every single one of them. I'm not going to be a completist on those by any stretch, but I think that, you know, the you know, Boba Fett with Han and Carbonite is really going to be something I get really ticked off if I can't get, I'll be honest with you.
Well, you'll always be able to get it. It's just a matter of how much you're willing to pay for it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think that's what we mean when we say that I'll be able to get it, is I'm not paying that much for that figure.
Right.
I think.
Hey, Dan.
Go ahead.
I'll jump in at the end.
I think the character selection for the 6-inch line is smart, because they start off with a main character, Luke, but his outfit is one that could be reused by other X-Wing pilots should they decide to go down that road. R2-D2, which, you know, Astromech Droid repaint, everybody loves that, and a Sand Trooper that could come in one of three different flavors, or strip off the extra gear and change a few things, you got Stormtrooper. So that's kind of a smart choice, and, you know, Darth Maul, maybe a year too late, but, you know, they've done a lot with Maul lately, so I think he's still in, you know, fans' mind as a cool character. So it makes sense they'd get him in pretty early.
Well, I had a thought, Sean, and I know you're probably waiting for me to bring this up, but I thought, you know, for a moment maybe we could compare and contrast. I definitely, since we got Dan on, I want to ask this question, and Paul, I don't know if you collect G.I. Joe or not, but you don't collect G.I. Joe. Dan, how about you?
I did in the 25th anniversary.
Okay.
So that's the series I have.
Are you familiar with what has been put out by G.I. Joe in recent years?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, just as a quick aside on this, we're talking about, you know, reducing articulation, reducing accessories. We know that G.I. Joe has been not really, I mean, in the Retaliation line, they did cut back on articulation a little bit. But they've always been known as super articulated figures, and they've always come with a lot of accessories, definitely in the 30th anniversary line that came out, you know, in 2011, 2012, and with the Pursuit of Cobra line before that. What do you think, what do you think about that and comparing it to Star Wars, and why is Star Wars having to reduce so much when G.I. Joe is able to pretty much keep, you know, all their articulation, their accessories, and so forth and so on?
Because Hasbro owns G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. That's what I figured you'd say.
So they can afford to, you know, they don't have licensing fees to pay.
Right.
But also, I mean, they're this is going to sound bizarre, but Daryl DePriest is running G.I. Joe right now.
Yeah.
And he's a huge Joe fan, and he wants to have great action figures. He's the guy that brought us all those great figures in 2007, 2000 for Star Wars. And he's not as hands-on with Star Wars anymore. So I don't know if people will agree with me on that one, but I think that's a big factor. Cost, design, a lot of staff changes at Hasbro, even just a couple weeks, you know, a couple days ago.
Right.
I don't know. I love what they're doing with Joe. I see it in the stores. I'm like, wow, this looks really cool. And you know what? For the amount of money you're paying, you get your money's worth.
Right.
If you buy a Star Wars figure, it's hit or miss, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Ponda Baba was a great deal with all the accessories. R5-D4, maybe not so much.
Right. And definitely if you're thinking of charging $10 for some of these 5 points of articulation figures that are going to come out, I mean, we don't know exactly. Those are the cheap – right.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You wouldn't want that, so that's why they've been able to cut back on the price. Is that was going to be my point. And then Sean, he just put in here, before we move on, should Disney produce these figures since they own the rights, and would that help at all? So what are your thoughts on that?
Nobody wants to touch that one.
Nobody wants to touch that.
What's the
elephant in the room. Well, what Sean had put in there was, you know, since Hasbro's having so many problems with producing these figures, should Disney take it over?
Well, if Disney takes over Hasbro, then I guess it doesn't matter.
Right.
What do you know, Dan? Tell us.
But, I don't know anything officially. I mean, I saw the rumor just like everybody else. But I will say this, Disney and Hasbro have a very strong relationship already. If you go to the downtown Disney World, Once Upon a Toy, which is a Hasbro toy store, in every theme park, in Star Tours, they're all Hasbro toys. I mean, yes, other companies do stuff as well, but if you're looking at action figures, those are basically Hasbro figures. You know, the Droid Factory that came out with last year, all the little Build-A-Droid parts were based on the Hasbro Build-A-Droid design. So it seems natural that that's the next step. I don't know, and I really don't, if they're going to come out and purchase Hasbro, but if they did, it would not surprise me, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
All right.
So I guess bottom line, guys, and Paul, we'll start with you. Do you think that this little, I don't know if you'd call an experiment, because it's not an experiment, they're doing it, but do you think this 5POA more kid-centric action figure line and then the 6-inch black line is going to be a success both ways for Hasbro?
Well, I hope so, because a success on that level means more things are going to come our way in the collector-focused lines. But, I have a little story for you. I promise you it wasn't made up, but I was in Target and a parent was showing... a mother was showing her son the new 12-inch clone trooper, and she's like, oh, here's a nice big figure. What about you like the clones? And the kid was like shaking his head like he was being served peas or something, you know.
Man, do we all have one of those stories? I have one too, but go.
I got one.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying that a kid wants 14 points of articulation or even knows what that means, but... I don't know, like, kids aren't dumb, and, you know, just because we grew up with 5 points or less doesn't mean that today's kids have to, you know? It's about technology, it's about, you know, what can be done in this day and age. I mean, our parents didn't have cell phones, but, you know, now they do. You know, they didn't have them growing up, but now they do. So, you know, we didn't have 14 points of articulation, but the potential's there, so... You know, if cost is a factor, there's certainly a lot of waste on the shelves right now. I mean, you have to admit that the stuff that they're trying to make and pump money into just isn't working. And, you know, what's the problem with getting products the good product that they make out onto the shelves? It's not rocket science. I just don't understand it. I don't understand the dilemma of things just rotting in a warehouse. if it's a replenishment system, that's got to change, you know? If it's a failed system, it needs to be revolutionized.
Ooh, good point. That's a good point.
So, Dan, what's your final word on this? Is it going to pass? Is it going to fail? What's it going to do?
I think the 6-inch series will be a slow seller. And, again, as long as they keep it limited, maybe 3 waves a year, I think that'll be fine. You know, if you do too much, you're going to oversaturate things, and there'll be no demand for it anymore. The Saga Legends 5-point of articulation, you know, one of my overall favorite lines of all time is Power of the Jedi. And Power of the Jedi had limited articulation. This was the wave, this was the line that really changed all action figures to come, because they started really paying attention to scale. They started adding in some experimental articulation points. Prior to that, it was just 6 points. And we started seeing some new styles. Hey, let's do swivel elbows or knees or, you know, cool kind of stuff. I will miss that. But I think if we can get fans into the line with these, you know, charming little $5 figures, that's a good thing for everybody. You know, who's to say, I mean, we are still getting super articulated figures. They're just part of the Black Series now. That's a line we haven't talked about yet. Mm-hmm. So we are still getting a 3¾-inch super articulated line. It's just what was supposed to be Droid Factory. So that, again, will be interesting, because you're competing with yourself. What are they doing? More Star Wars is always good. I'm happy about that. The new movies coming right around the corner, I think, will change a lot. It'll be very exciting, because one of the problems I think that a lot of fans are having is that we've already gotten figures of Clone Troopers, Padme, Yoda. You know what I'm saying? It's like, another Mace Windu, really? That never changes his clothes. Why do we need to have another Mace Windu figure? It's the same outfit in all three movies.
Yeah.
So, sequel characters coming. You know, we know at least 3, Han, Leia, and Luke. Hopefully Chewbacca will still be alive. And, you know, we'll probably get R2 and 3PO, let's face it. So we'll have some familiar faces again. But there's a whole bunch of new characters and new storylines. We don't know anything about that. And that's what's exciting for me.
Dan Curto with Hope for the Future. I like it.
Definitely.
I agree with Dan, too. I really do.
Oh, that's great. So, guys, do we want to waste any time talking about the 12-inch figures, since those were kind of brought up?
No.
Well, I want to tell you my funny story, and I didn't find it. My friend told me this. Somebody was in the store, and they looked at it, and the kid goes, "What is this thing?" And the mom goes, "I don't know. I think it's a shampoo bottle."
That's exactly what they look like. I knew they reminded me of something that you know, you get one of those things for Christmas or whatever, a Clone Trooper shaped, or Stormtrooper shaped shampoo bottle. That's a perfect way to describe them. They're not good for much else.
What I think is interesting, and we're kind of, I'm going to venture off a little bit, is the 12-inch line, and they're all the limited points of articulation and supposedly had great sculpts to them. Not the 12-inch line from what I've seen. But across all of their boys' toys lines, they're all doing the same thing. Limited articulation, but they're working, you know, on really good sculpts. Supposedly. Now, the Wolverine line that I've seen, they look like they're really good sculpts, so I'm very interested to see that when it hits stores. But they don't have, you know, super articulation, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, my 12-inch story was similar to Paul's in that I was actually at a Kmart, which remarkably has turned into a pretty good store for me lately, and and I saw it was once again it was that Clone Trooper, you know, the thing I've got the picture of in the Google Doc, and there was this dad that was trying to literally force feed, you know, his son, you know, I'm assuming he was around 9 years old, this figure, and he kept saying over and over and over again, no, he doesn't want it because it doesn't move right. And I so wanted to Of course, I didn't want to seem like the, you know, weird old guy in the toy pegs, but, you know, it was just kind of like, I would have loved to have just talked to that kid for just like 30 seconds and say, huh, what about that don't you like? But, of course, I didn't. But it's like, I looked at him. I mean, and I didn't even, it looked so bad to me, I didn't even pick one up. I mean, that's how bad these were to me. So I'm kind of relating that to, you know, now going back, 3 3/4 is a lot smaller. You know, price point at $5, and I agree with you there. I think it might be smart to try to give parents maybe a little bit cheaper route, but I kind of, overall, I kind of agree with Paul when he made the point that kids nowadays, you know, that even maybe even a year or two ago were used to playing with action figures that would actually stand up and do multiple poses, just might not be willing to accept, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like giving someone a freedom and saying all of a sudden, nope, you don't have it anymore. I don't know. Kind of feels un-American to me a little bit, but I guess I need to keep politics out of it, but I was like, I'm not sure about all that. All right, Chad, I'll shut up. Where are we going next?
All right, well, let's see. We were talking about, I guess we're skipping the thing about the Clone Wars above the Clone Trooper, right, Sean? Because
yeah.
We kind of already talked about that.
We all think that was a epic fail on Hasbro's part to release them everywhere, but the country they make their... I
that
can't
does
even say it. That's
make
white.
Me scratch my head.
Man. Yeah, that song.
I mean,
however,
they're
I will
in Canada.
Say this. I will say this: they still might come out.
Yeah, you're right. They might.
Your Five Belows, your TJ Maxx, your Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? They've been
yeah.
getting some surprising hits lately. You never know.
Hey, Dan.
Dan Fighter.
Yeah. Maybe the reason why they didn't come out here in America is, like you said before, they don't know where they are.
Well, apparently they're in Canada and Europe.
Can I add a little bit of insight to that? I do have some inside information on that.
Go ahead.
Without revealing my source, and Dan's the one I'm talking about, I was told by someone who's in the industry that he had offered to order the Green Yoda figures, the Clone Wars and the Movie Heroes, as an exclusive for his company, and was turned down by Hasbro. And so they had no intention that he did manufacturing them for the American audience. I believe it has to do with the backlog of Clone Wars and Movie Heroes in the red packaging with Darth Maul.
I would agree, and here's the thing, man. This is the thing that makes me scratch my head, and I've been doing it since I first saw the line announced in New York Comic Con in 2011. Do you really think the Phantom Menace was going to take off and be this big popular thing? I mean, do you not remember 1999 at all?
Yeah.
They honestly didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And they just released the same. And that's the thing. Character selection is going to be key going forward. Stop with the constant repacks of the same exact figures over and
Thank
over
you.
Again in carry forwards. I understand the need to bring out, you know, some of the more popular characters or whatever, but the fact that we don't have multiple Death Star troopers, Echo Base troopers, you know what I'm saying? These are guys that people want, keep asking for, and Hasbro seems reluctant to actually put them out.
Yeah, the Marine Guards and the Rebel Fleet troopers, and yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Bomb
then we get clones and sand troopers over and over and over again.
And Bomb Bin Bin.
I like that guy, but I have him. So
well,
I don't see him. Yeah.
He's clutching the shelves in my Toys R Us.
You know who we have not seen is Bastila Shan, the fan's choice figure
mm-hmm.
from 2009 mm. that not many people got. So we all voted for her to win, and we don't get her. I don't get it. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I wonder about those votes, but I guess that might be a podcast for a different episode. That's like the expanding universe characters that came out on Vintage. How in the world could they not just produce the heck out of those? I mean, I never did see some of those, like Galen Merrick and Shay Visla, and I mean, some of those awesome TOR characters. Like, come on, guys, re-release those, but oh well.
Because they're part of the, well, they're part of last year's wave, but right. the last wave syndrome, like that Republic Trooper, last waves are always tough. If you remember the Legacy Collection, right? It was all expanded universe, and it ended up being an exclusive. What was it? Jason and Jaina.
Yeah, Toys R Us exclusive.
Yeah, and it but
yeah, that
it
was,
only
that
came
was
out.
Lifetime, I can remember that. Yeah,
it didn't see wide distribution. You know, I think in Toys R Us maybe I saw that wave twice.
One time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, that was like crud.
So, expanded universe they don't do a lot of because they're not as recognizable. So, only you know, the comic packs, same kind of problem, although I still argue that they killed the comic packs by releasing that damn Darth Vader in blue.
That blue one.
Like, why I release that one again? I don't understand. But I digress.
All right, so we're talking a lot about all the things that are going wrong with Hasbro and their decision-making process and their distribution nightmares. So what are they doing right? And, Paul, I'll start with you. I mean, what do you think they are doing right now? We got to have some sort of sugar in the sourness here to balance things out.
I think they do a lot right, actually. I'm my complaints are more vocal than my praises, I guess. But I think they mastered how to make a 3¾-inch action figure. You look at how far their technology has come to translate, you know, two-dimensional images from film into a three-dimensional action figure at that tiny scale. I think it's remarkable. Some are better than others, obviously, but, you know, it's working in 14 points articulation with, you know, usable movement. You know, they're all the works. They crammed 14 points in, not all the articulation with that, you know, it was like inhibited, not totally usable, but just the figures now have such a wide range of motion and, I still think they could use a little bit work on getting the soft goods a little bit better, but man, you look at figures in the vintage collection like Kit Fisto, that figure still mesmerizes me.
Mm.
I love the Liquay. I could talk all day.
All your favorite.
So it's doing the Morning Guard, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, just brilliant action figures. I expected them to look this good, ever. So I'm excited for what the future holds, even if it's not going to be in vintage packaging. It'll be in the new Black Series, but it holds, you know, that same standard of quality. So I'm really looking forward to the future.
A lot of people that I've talked to have said that Gamorrean Guard is hands down the best action figure ever made.
It is. And I have enough of them to prove it.
All right, Dan, what do you think Hasbro is doing right?
Well, Angry Birds. No, just kidding.
For a minute, I thought you were going to say... Those little things I try to forget. Pod fighters.
Fighter pods.
Fighter
pods.
Fighter pods.
Pod.
I like the past several years where they've taken chances, where they've done big vehicles like the Millennium Falcon, the AT-TE. You know, that kind of stuff is like, wow, who thought we would ever get, you know, such a cool ad-ad, you know, one of the best toys. Play sets, vehicle, all wrapped in one. This was great. Yeah. I had fun playing with you now. But as far as the figures go, they've got sculpting down. They've got the articulation down. I absolutely love it when they do the dirty wash on the. Remember when the Clone Wars first came out? And all those clones were carbon scoring everywhere, you know, however you want to think of it. But again, it's to the same thing. I mean, as a business, it's very costly to do all that. So now we're getting, you know, limited points of articulation, limited pain apps. It's frustrating, but as I keep reminding myself, I'm very spoiled that I'm able to compare to some great figures that they've done. And, you know, maybe then a for years while we ramp up for episode 7. And not only episodes, the sequel trilogy, but all the standalone films, too. I mean, if they're doing a Boba Fett movie, I'm sure we'll get new Boba Fett figures.
That'd be cool.
You know?
That'd be amazing.
So what will they bring to it? I don't know. I want to see more of the vehicles. I love the mini rigs. I still call them mini rigs. They're not called that anymore, but I love them. Especially when they're, like, smaller interpretations of larger vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, those things are really cool. Speeder bikes, yeah, not so exciting. But I like what, you know, the mini, what is it, the MTT,
mm-hmm.
right, with the battle droid, the little mm-hmm. one. That's just very mm-hmm. cool. Maybe you can't afford the big giant one. Maybe you get the little tiny one instead. That's what I loved about as a kid. I couldn't afford Imperial Shuttle, so I got the little Imperial Shuttle. So that's what it reminds me of. I think that once we get through the catch-up year, if you will, we'll start seeing a lot more improvements in the 3 3/4-inch line. You know, the 6-inch line looks pretty cool from what I've seen pictures of. We'll have to see it in person. Not a fan of Angry Birds.
Yeah, I haven't bought any either. You know what I think?
Speaking of Angry Birds, when I was at Toy Fair, I was asked, you know, every time while we get ready for Toy Fair, we post an article and we ask our readers to, you know, leave questions that you would like me to ask Hasbro. And, you know, I had my list of 100 questions for Jeff. And every other question kind of stumped him or he didn't know the answer. But he always came back with, I can tell you what's coming next in Angry Birds. Is the Glamorgan Guard coming in Angry Birds? Yes. It's really, they take so much energy and focus on Angry Birds, if you ask me.
You know, that's what's the future, man, because it's a game. And if you look at the recent years, Hasbro has very desperately been trying to tie in the action figure line into something with games. Even their website is all about fighter pods now. Now, the packaging for the Canada figures we were talking about has big fighter pod stickers right on the bubble. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, they're action figures, but check out this Fighter Pods game. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because kids are into games. That's why. I mean, I understand that. But I don't know. They're two different animals. It's sort of frustrating to see them put together like that. It's almost like Hasbro doesn't want to make action figures anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
Which would suck.
That's a frightening thought.
Uh-oh.
I think that would suck for all of us, Dan.
That better be you thinking out loud there, Dan. Oh, wow. That better be you thinking out loud there. Oh, yeah. Writing on the wall. No more Star Wars action figures. Oh, for the thought. You know one thing I think they're doing right, guys? What do you think about the vintage box ships, some of which you can get online, like Amazon.com?
I'm looking forward to them.
I love it.
I'm mixed.
Hmm.
I want the Slave One.
Yeah.
The rest, I kind of don't care.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I have Interceptors. Several. I don't care what box it comes in. I open them anyway.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now, I've known about that damn Slave One for 3 years. So, I knew it was coming.
So, it's not done. Yeah.
Waiting for it.
Well, it's like, what was it? Was it SDCC where they had that image of it and just kind of said, see you next time or something? And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was SDCC.
Kind of knew it was happening, and I'm very glad to see they're giving it the vintage box treatment. But I like the fact that here we have Amazon.com. I know it stinks for people that really don't do any online buying, but if you know anything about Amazon, let's face it, we're all going to be able to get it, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be cool. The only thing I worry about Amazon there is, you know, let's make sure the boxes you ship that bad boy in are or a thick enough cardboard, and that you package that thing right, because if any of you have ordered, of course I know you guys have ordered action figures through Amazon. Some of mine didn't show up so hot. Some of them did, some did, and it was kind of hit or miss. But
I remember when the book came out, a lot of people wrote in saying that it arrived damaged.
Amazon. Yeah. Well.
That's one thing that they do need to fix.
And I know Paul, may have been you I read, had already addressed that issue with Hasbro, and they said, Hasbro said they were going to try to really make sure that they really recommended how to ship that thing. I won't say that was you. I could be wrong. And my different, comings and goings around the internet, read that somewhere, but let's hope that Amazon does do right by shipping of that vehicle, because of course I know some people are going to open it, but some people are going to be like me and want to keep that bad boy in the box too. So I'm looking forward to that one, and I was glad to see them release a LAT, a Republic gunship. I mean, that one seemed like that was a no-brainer to release since the Clone Wars has been on. I can't believe it's taken us so long to get another one. Dan, was that you that was going to say something?
I was going to say, it was sort of a side note. You know who ships really, really well? Big Bad Toy Store. Sturdy box, lots of bubble wrapping, packages so that it's not tight, crushing each other. I like them. I don't know if they're sponsors or not, but they should be.
Yes. Yeah, they're definitely ISY site sponsors. So, yeah, we definitely like ordering from them. So, hats off.
Hopefully someday CAFN sponsors too, right, Sean?
Oh, hey, you never know. I just had more time. You never know. All right, where we want to go next? We're starting to get up there, aren't we, Chad?
How would Paul and Dan run Hasbro, the Star Wars brand line? I think that's where we are.
Paul, you want to start?
I'm almost afraid to ask this one because I think we'll probably spend the rest of the show talking about it and not have time for other things afterwards. But then again, that just means we have to get them all on again to finish. So
you do realize I have little to no business sense, right?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You know, it's all about what you dream and what you you want to see. And
true.
Well, there's not really a lot they haven't done. When you get right down to it. I mean, they've done a lot of characters, all the main ones, most of like the B, C, D level characters they've gotten to, and they are constantly upgrading whenever. I mean, Pablo Jill has got a new version coming out. I think he's still coming out, right? whatever, they showed him, so at some point we'll probably get him. And he looks really cool, and there's a lot of good stuff. The biggest thing I would fix is distribution and case assortments. And I would love to have the fans' choice figure be an ongoing thing. Not just once every few years, but you remember, I was thinking about a different brand, but do you remember Toy Fair Magazine when it first started up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they would have a Toy Biz Marvel figure every month. It's really just a repaint or a kit bash or something simple. There was like a new character that maybe we wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Something like this would be perfect for maybe like a Star Wars Insider or maybe some of the websites to sponsor, and we could have, some type of exclusive repaint or exclusive figure that maybe you wouldn't get normally. And, of course, you'd probably pay a little bit more for it. But that's the type of thing that I would say is missing from the line right now is fan interaction.
Dan, can I ask your point?
Yeah.
Dan actually hosted this at Rebel Scum when he was there. If you recall, 2007 was just what a year. It was an exciting time to collect. It was an exciting time to be a Star Wars fan. And that was the year where we had the Fans' Choice Saga Legends line, and Dan ran that tournament at Rebel Scum. And, man, it was we couldn't wait till those figures hit the pegs. And when they did, they sold like mad. And Saga Legends kept shipping and shipping and shipping and selling and selling and selling. And in fact, the very last wave was almost a rarity. It was so hard to find because as soon as it hit the pegs, it sold out almost immediately. And they never came back to that, never did it again. It was, okay, we're going to choose these figures now and call them Saga Legends, and it was the same old Obi-Wan, Anakin, Jango Fett. It wasn't the fans speaking out, and the fans 100% right. They need to go back to the fans who have supported the line from day one and give them a portion of the line that they can call their own. And, you know, that would be an opportunity to get Ponda Baba back out, but still a Sean back out, and Imperial Navy Commander back out. It seems like such common sense, but they don't do that anymore. And it's been, I mean, 10 years away from, we're 6 years out from 2007, and there's been nothing like that since.
No. The Saga Legends became the same figures over and over again on, I mean, by definition, that's what it was supposed to be. But years running, it was the same Obi-Wan, the same Anakin, the same Vader, the same Jango Fett. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, let's change it up a little bit. Go back in time and bring back some of those favorites.
Yeah. Right, and the favorites got to come every year with it. We understand that. But then supplement it with the fan's voice, even if it's a wave or a half a wave.
Yep. Yeah, what we voted on back then was originally just going to be 8 figures in the line, and it ended up influencing the rest of the line because of the popularity. So Boba Fett completely changed the figure they were originally planning to release because they saw the VOTC Boba Fett was more popular, not a surprise. You know, I personally got them to change the 501st Clone Trooper, so that was pretty exciting for me. and, you know, the clone officers, they weren't even in the running. They were not in the running at all, and then they saw how popular they were because they were only available in that Entertainment Earth set. So they said, well, hey, fans really like these guys. I'm like, yes, absolutely, let's bring them back. And then it was funny because they kind of gave you a hint by mistake because when they painted them like the animated series. If you remember, the officers came out with the stripe not all the way down connected.
Right.
So it's like, oh, yeah, so you were thinking about it even back then, weren't you? But we didn't know. But yeah, I do miss that. I mean, that's one thing I think is they stopped doing the Q&A, which I understand why, but your interaction with your fan base is what I think is missing now.
Back on the point. Dan for CEO. So, Paul, what about you, bud? I mean, I think you agreed with a lot of Dan's points. Is there anything you would do differently?
The things that I would like to see happen, I know I'm in a very, very small vocal minority, but I would love to see Hasbro revisit their 12-inch line in the way that they were done, not shampoo bottle style, but, you know, the old G.I. Joe bodies, but, you know, develop a buff body that's, you know, more lean and can, you know, won't look bulky when armor's added to it. And, you know, make it a $29.99 price pointed line. You know, a very, you know, maybe no more than 12 a year or, you know, 6 a year or something, but I love the 12-inch scale, and I think, you know, with what they've proven they can do in the 3 3/4, they can make, you know, they can make a line that would compete with, you know, Sideshow's expensive line and maybe get more 12-inch collectors that way. So, again, I know it's a weird thing to wish for, but, you know, it's always been a favorite of mine.
Well, you know what, Paul? We're getting 6-inch, so why not another 12-inch?
Right.
Yeah.
I got one more thing.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Paul. Finish.
I also would like to see the return of battle packs. I thought that was an ingenious way of getting army builders out in one fell swoop. Where else could you get three of the same clone troopers or you know, a whole Jedi, you know, for a reduced price, you know, give it the same format, use old sculpts, maybe, you know, upgrade a figure here and there, repaint a couple more. And keep it in a, you know, $20 to $25 price point. I just think that's such a lost, missed opportunity. They cut that line away. Mm-hmm. All I can think about is the Clone Wars 501st Legion. How many exclusive Target battle packs there could have been if they just kept with it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Dan, I think it's safe okay. You're trying to add.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to... Hey, man, when you get me started, it's hard to stop.
Oh, this is why we had you. It's great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I would definitely do, and I don't care if it's one or a million, I want a modular Death Star.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... $20 pieces that you buy, you build, is big. You want to make it. And you can put, remember those 3D dioramas from back in the late 90s? You could put it in a little action figure with it, too. You know, there's plenty of Imperials that populate that thing. A little Stormtrooper with a hallway that connects to another hallway. It connects to maybe a Leia with a prison cell or, you know, a C-3PO in a control room or something like that. I would love to put that together regardless of the price point, and that would be my dream.
Hmm.
Love to see it one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably won't, but...
Oh, no. Yeah, I think Hasbro's reluctance to, you know, go back to produce some type of playset is... Oh, I hate hearing when they say that, no, there are no playsets planned, and I know that some of the ones they tried to produce were pretty big flops, and I do agree with you. It would be really cool. It's like, what was I watching on TV the other day? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Oh.
It's like the pizza joint playset. It was this little box, but the kid just flipped it open, and here's this huge little mini diorama. And, Chad, you know which one I'm talking about?
I have it, and it's awesome. I mean, it's just... It's funny because my little four-year-old guy he's all into the turtles, and he got the big playset, and I wanted the little one because I couldn't have the, you know, he has the big one, and he'll take that little one and he'll set it right up next to the big one, and he plays with that almost more sometimes than he does with the big one, and he even likes to play with the box, and that's you know, another thing. So I mean, that's another thing. I mean, why can't we have that? I mean, that would be something great, like what Dan's talking about, to have for the Star Wars figures. I mean, and you know, it's not even it wouldn't even be that expensive. I mean, that thing only costs $20, and
yeah,
you know,
I mean, get Mark Pedrillo. I'm sure already has designs for this. So let's put it together and package it up with some kind of... It doesn't even have to be an exclusive figure. I mean, just a Stormtrooper, big deal. The same freaking Stormtrooper. Who cares? They're Stormtroopers. They'll sell.
Right.
It would have been, in my thinking, it would have been a fantastic release next year.
Yeah.
If A New Hope came out in 3D.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's happening anymore, but...
Yeah.
That would have been the time to do it.
Yeah, I think your idea of having a playset that could then attach and form another part of another playset, and till you build this, you know, huge, as big as you want to make it, just a no-brainer. I think of that.
They started something like that in 2002 with the Droid Factory assembly line. So you would get certain toys that had, like, you know, a piece of it, but they connected mm-hmm. to each other. You could get one of each, or maybe just one or two, and they connected. Or you could buy like 20 of each and have a very long assembly line if that's the direction you wanted to go. This could also double as a diorama. I know Frank from what's his new site now? I can't remember. Diorama Workshop.
Exactly.
Diorama Workshop.
Yeah. So he's had a lot of Death Stars over the years. They're not that terrible to produce. In fact, I think it was C4. That they built one in his fan area. They built a giant diorama of a Death Star, and it's like, yeah, so some kid just came over and slapped this stuff together and just made it. I mean, it is doable, and I think people would support it. Now, will it sell a million? Probably not. But that's what I would do.
Wow. I think we'd have to alternate between Dan and Paul being CEO. Maybe one year Dan gets it, next year Paul gets it. And I think the only...
For the record, Dan is much more qualified to be CEO than me. So please understand that.
I don't know about that.
I think the only product you guys haven't mentioned that I would definitely love, if I were CEO, I would love to see Hasbro produce... I don't know, they tried it a little bit with their, you know, titanium small ship line, but I missed Action Fleet. I would love to see them go back to some of those, and like you said, not a huge amount of them, and like the micro machines, which I know they tried in there, you know, kind of unleashed a little small line that I guess didn't have the type of sales they were after, but I would love to see them go back to some of that type of stuff, and some good memories of being able to afford a few of those products as a kid. And
are you talking about the Galoob?
Yes,
little play
exactly.
sets that were like heads that open up and they got the
exactly,
little figures.
Yes.
See, those were cool.
Yeah.
Those were cool.
Mm-hmm. I like them too.
So that's about the only thing you guys didn't mention that I wanted. So I could be very well satisfied with both of you being at the top of, you know, my favorite.
Oh man.
All right. Where we how much time we have left, Chad? What's our time looking like, bud?
We're at, let's see, hour and a half, Sean.
All right.
So we're getting pretty close to the end here. Why don't you pick out the last thing you really, really, really want to talk about? Because do we want to talk about the Clone Wars and getting, you know, what's going to happen with that? Because I know you had that down there at the bottom.
I think we almost have to talk about that. I would love to hear your guys
that's
take
what I was.
That. Okay, cool. Of course, you know, I think most of probably our listeners already know this by now, but Dave Filoni told us that the Clone Wars is over as far as being on Cartoon Network. Sounds like we're going to get perhaps a series of maybe some movies, because there's definitely more stuff out there. We saw a neat video clip with perhaps some Order 66 type stuff. What do you guys think about the announcement that the Clone Wars is over? I mean, I think it's kind of inevitable as soon as Disney acquired Lucasfilm, but what do you guys think? Was the writing on the wall for you guys for a while?
Yeah, for me it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
just the time change to Saturday morning was enough to alarm me.
Yeah.
Well,
good point.
I have to think about this for a minute. What can I say?
Yeah.
The Clone Wars series did its job. It said it was going to be on for 5 years, 100 episodes. It did. It kept Star Wars in the minds of the fans and the public. It did. Did we get to see the end as Filoni had it planned? It did not. However, if you look at as a whole, the first movie we saw introduces Ahsoka. The last episode we saw, she leaves.
Mm. Yeah.
Story's over. If you look at it from that point of view. Now, I know there's additional stuff coming. My feeling on that is we will see those as direct-to-DVD releases. I don't know for sure. I'm not trying to drop any hints here. But Disney has a long history of doing that. And even like, if you remember when Stargate got canceled, it came out with some DVD movies afterwards that eventually aired on TV. Firefly got canceled and came out with bonus episodes on their DVD release and a feature film. So it ain't over for sure. It's just not going to be on TV every week, which that's what I think fans are going to miss.
All right.
But it's also, and I said this back in October, and I'll say this again now, it is time for the Clone Wars to end. There's a new era of Star Wars upon us. This era has done its job, did it well. It is time to end it. And we move on to the next phase of Star Wars fandom, which is the sequels.
And 5 years is a decent time length for TV, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now, there's been hit-and-miss episodes. I've been quoted many times as saying the series has jumped the Zillow Beast. overall, it was great. It was a great series visually, the sound quality. It was really great to see. So when they started bringing in, like, Chewbacca and Bosk, I mean, I went crazy. You know? Having classic trilogy characters in that style, I would love to see a new series just like that.
Think
and maybe we will.
I think probably one of my worst days was getting those answers back from Hasbro when we asked them if they were going to release any of the Clone War Trandoshan and Wookiees, and they said no, nothing in the foreseeable future because it wasn't a big enough story arc, and I was just like, what?
Right.
Yeah, I would still love to see some of the Clone Wars, those Trandoshans from from that episode and some of the Wookiees, but yeah, I agree. That was pretty cool, some of the characters.
They didn't even release Bosk as a basic figure.
Yeah, that's true, too.
No.
Oh, well.
I think they should release Ponkrell with repaints of the Clone Trooper as a battle pack. And make
yeah,
it exclusive to San Diego, or I don't care where, but they should definitely, you know, do that. They were already working on Ponkrell. We know this.
I think they could do that even bigger than San Diego. I think they could make that like a Toys R Us exclusive or something, and I think it would get. I think it'd get scooped up like crazy because I think you know a lot of people were really really clamoring for that Ponkrell figure, and I think that's a good idea.
The thing I don't understand about canceling the Clone Wars toy line is, why did they cancel all Episode 1 figures? Why did they just cancel Star Wars figures in general? I mean, the movies have come out years ago. Star Wars is still popular. The Clone Wars is going to remain popular. People are going to wish to see, you know, as many figures made from the property as much as possible. But just because it's not a live multimedia event anymore doesn't mean that its desire and passion for it's not there. That's what always bugged me about them being so worried about a multimedia event not supporting their property.
Yeah, I do agree. It's almost like if it's not a movie year, you can pretty much expect not to see a whole lot out there.
I can explain part of that. Also at Hasbro, keep in mind, they're doing the Marvel toys, and Marvel has a ton of movies coming out every year. So a lot of their resources, a lot of their mentality higher up is we got to have something to tie into this movie. Indiana Jones did the same thing. G.I. Joe started and then stopped last year, and now it's coming back out again. Transformers seems like all the time is another movie in the works. But the movie lines that I just mentioned, they don't really sell very well. How many Iron Mans have been on the shelves for years? And now they're bringing out more.
Which look worse. Yeah.
Which are worse, way worse.
And they're not moving.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know, the Spider-Man animated series, I don't like it, yet I watch it every week, so I guess I do like it. but those figures are kind of like not really my type. Because I like more realistic.
Oh, those figures are terrible. Let me tell you, I was looking at those a couple weeks ago, and they had the Iron Fist character, which is kind of like a kung fu guy, and they had put the Iron Fist out in the Marvel Universe line, which was a pretty good figure. The hip articulation was a little bit bad, and I was just looking at this Iron Fist, and I'm like, they're never going to sell this figure. It's terrible. 5 points of articulation, not even particularly well sculpted. It can't compare at all with the previous release.
This is what we're looking forward to. This is for those that know, this is the dark days I was talking about last year.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't necessarily mean we won't get some, you know, really cool stuff inevitably, you know, eventually, but for now, I think they're coasting. Star Wars wise, I think they're coasting until the new movie.
I agree with
just
you.
Like they did in 2004. Remember 2004, the original trilogy collection? Mostly all repaints or repacks, or both. Very few actual real new figures. And the new figures were like leftovers from previous waves that never got released. So they kind of coasted a little bit, waiting for Episode 3 to come out, and then they really pulled out all the stops. We'll see.
All right, I got to ask, guys, what do you think this new timeline, previously untouched in Star Wars films or television programming, means? Where's our new animated Disney TV programming going to hit? Nobody wants to take that one yet either.
I have a thought.
I'll wait, because I'm always talking.
I have a thought, Sean. I just something just popped into my head. A lot along the old Ewoks or droids line that we saw in the 80s, I could definitely see something very similar to those in the format, very kid-oriented, since it is Disney. I could see something like that. Definitely, I can't really see Disney continuing on something like the Clone Wars, which is very, you know, it's lots of violence And it would still be action, but I think very much more kid-friendly. That's what I envision.
No lightsaber through the body scenes, Chad?
Probably not a whole lot, but who knows.
Paul, what do you think, bud?
I'm not really sure. It was on the live-action TV, right?
Yeah, no. I guess what they hinted at, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, you've probably read as much as me, but the Lucasfilm announcement talk, I got the impression that it was a new animated series.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what, I'm not too brushed up on that, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. There's so much out there, how can you keep on top of it all? That's what I have you guys for. Yeah. So, I mean, where do you think? I mean, where are they going to go that they haven't explored yet, do you think, Paul, if you're just kind of thinking out loud?
Well, I mean, there's a whole section between Episode 3 and Episode 4, which I understood was the live-action TV. I would love to see Darth Vader kicking butt in the galaxy, you know? Mm-hmm. But I guess there's a whole story between Episode 1 and Episode 2, God forbid. that they could delve into to also, you know?
Oh, I think I'm repressing that. That's a good point.
I really want to see Anakin Skywalker go from in utero to, you know, adolescent either, so I don't know. Hmm. There's a whole rich expanded universe that we're not even talking about either, you know? Mm-hmm. Possibilities are endless, really.
I hear you. Dan, what about you?
Okay. I actually was going to say what Paul said. The live-action series, they have a lot of scripts that they've written for that show. It was too expensive to produce.
Right.
It would be very easy to adapt a lot of that time frame into an animated-style series. You already have the scripts. You already have a lot of the reference material. And they have not touched pretty much anything in between 3 and 4, with a few exception of maybe, you know, I don't know when the Ewoks movies actually take place. And I never have seen droids and Ewoks, but I think they're before the films.
And The Force Unleashed, right?
The Force Unleashed is a video game.
Well,
so
right, but that...
This says
that
takes... not touched by films or television.
Okay.
So I think they'll take those scripts that they have. And from what I understand, some of them are really, really good. And there would be some great tales in there, which maybe the films might, you know, the new films might touch, the standalone movies. You know, what was Ben Kenobi doing on Tatooine during this whole time? Was he on
right.
Tatooine this whole time? We don't know that.
Right.
You know?
How many trips to Alderaan did he take?
right. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's so many. The Jedi Purge would be great. One thing that I would like to see is Darth Vader used very rarely, because he should become the villain again.
Mm-hmm.
When we think of Darth Vader, I said this when the Clone Wars first came out, it's only a matter of time before kids don't know who Darth Vader is, because they're going to think Star Wars, they're going to think R2, Anakin, Yoda, Padme, Jar Jar. They don't know who Darth Vader is. Darth Vader needs to be brought back to his villain status. So the bad Sith Lord that wipes out everybody, we need to see that in action, not the Frankenstein screaming no to the air. Do you know what I'm saying? That was like the last thing we have in our minds of Vader.
Mm. Right.
We need the bad guy Vader to come back.
Hear, hear.
To me, that was The Empire Strikes Back, my favorite film, because Darth Vader kicked butt the entire time. And he kind of got watered down in Jedi, and then especially in the, you know, you find out how he became. Well, that's kind of a, you know, different thing. But I would love to see him brought back to his stature as the most feared man in the galaxy. Hmm. But you can only really do that by the reaction of other characters. So if you have Obi-Wan constantly running away, or excuse me, he's Ben now. If you have Ben Kenobi running away from Vader, maybe if you have a young Han Solo tale that he's, you know, he doesn't want to get anywhere near this guy or whoever, you know, I don't know, but I suspect that's probably where they're going with this animated series. I could be wrong.
I hope it is. Yeah, I hope it's something to, because I agree with you, Dan. I think, you know, all of the kids that, you know, grew up with the prequels, I would love to see them pick a time maybe in between one of the original trilogy movies, perhaps. You know, now expanded universe, the only reason I'm a little bit leery from that is because that's kind of the territory they're starting to explore now with you know, what I'm calling the postquels, episode 7, 8, and 9, I guess we're going to get. So kind of wondering if they're going to leave that alone for, you know, the major motion pictures and maybe give us something. Kind of agree there's a lot of time period between episode 3 and 4 to explore, but I'm kind of hoping that, you know, maybe we can get, you know, something. I mean, they didn't say anything about books, so I'm kind of wondering, you know, Shadows of the Empire or, you know? I mean,
I'd love to see that adapted somehow.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You'd have to do it in CGI or traditional animation. You couldn't do it live action anymore.
I forgot about
Shadows of the Empire. That's probably one of my top preferences now, that we just mentioned it.
Yeah.
But tell Shadows of the Empire from Boba Fett's point of view, like they did in the Dark Horse comics.
Good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Because that was all the... See, that's the thing that is missing in the prequel trilogy. The Star Wars underworld, the Jabba the Hutt scenes, the cantina scenes. You know, we got a lot of Jedi, but we didn't really get a lot of the underworld, the meat and potatoes of the universe, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. We didn't get a lot of that. It was all about Anakin and midichlorians and whatever, clones, you know? It's kind of like, let that era of Star Wars go away and let's get focused on, like, you know, the everyday. What is it like growing up in this universe as just a regular guy?
Right.
You know, to me, my favorite character was Han Solo because he was that kind of regular guy. You know, he understood every alien. He couldn't speak their languages, but when they garbled to him, he understood what they were saying. To me, that was kind of cool, you know.
Yep.
And I loved his tales. We need to get back to his tales.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
See, I got lots of ideas.
All right, Chad, that was my question. You get one more and then end this thing?
Well, I think the last thing that we need to do before we go is just cover what's on the pegs. What do you think about that?
Well, for me, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, I can say just from my point of view, there's a lot of G.I. Joe and nothing other than Turtles being refreshed and selling out over and over and over again. That's about it for me. I did want to mention one shout out while I'm talking about what's on the pegs. I met a local Star Wars collector who is actually friends with Dayton Allen. His name is Robert Mutchler, and we ran into each other at Toys R Us, and we quickly struck up a friendship. And he has been keeping tabs on my What's the Deal Hasbro sign hanging up, and it's still there. I hung it on Friday, and it's still there, so apparently they don't care that it's there. So I definitely want to say what's up to Robert, though, and definitely go check out his Facebook page, Slave One Collectibles, which is a really cool page. He likes to post a lot of neat stuff on there. And that's it for me. What's on the pegs? What about you guys?
That's Paul. He always finds stuff.
Well, I'm not sure if you recall, but I received what I call an intel report from a manager at a Target store, and I was told from the report that there was going to be a discontinuation of Star Wars product at Target. So I guess until, you know, there wasn't a date for when they were going to bring it back for, but we assumed it would be for July or August when the Black Series comes out. But that didn't really happen at every location, or if it is going to happen, it's just not happening right now. But I can attest to 2 Targets in my area that have absolutely nothing but the 12-inch figures, like no class 1 vehicle sets, no Saga Legends, no Vintage Collection remaining, no Clone Wars or Movie Heroes in a Darth Maul packaging. And then I have 2 Targets that are... you know, sporadically, yeah, I just have a few sporadic movie heroes and Clone Wars figures and maybe a Class 1 set. So I'm not sure if that was an accurate report or not, but, you know, when I posted it, it was more from a questioning perspective, but I was curious to know if that was true in your area or if you, like, do you see Star Wars disappearing from Target or do you see just, like, nothing coming back? I'm seeing reports of the deleted scenes wave coming back at Target, but not in my area.
Yeah, I've actually seen that wave at Walmart, Paul, just about a week ago, that deleted scenes wave with the... I was able to pick up a Leia, and what else did I pick up? I picked up almost all of those. Kraken was there, the Mon Calamari pilot. I definitely saw that at Walmart. Target was pretty much decimated, like you talked about.
Okay.
Same here. Yeah, the Star Wars display at my Targets aren't completely gone, but they're not refreshing anything on them. So, go ahead, Dan.
No, I mean, I think that's the same in my area, too. I've Star Wars-wise, I mean, they're clearancing out at Target recently, but then they brought them back to full price again, which baffles me.
Yeah.
But the only ones that are there, of course, are the Episode 1 figures that have been sitting there all year. So what I've been doing is going across the street to Kmart and picking up these fantastic figures of The Hobbit for $2.
Yeah.
$2 for a 3¾-inch action figure. That's super articulated, has cool accessories, and the bigger sets are $4, and the big giant dog thing and the goblin rider is like $8, and they're 50% off. It's crazy. And, you know, I've been enjoying that. So I've got a collection of Hobbit figures now. And I'm always on the hunt for Marvel Universe, and I'm sick and tired of not finding anything. So.
Me too.
Ugh, so disappointing.
Well, that is.
On the other hand, has been a godsend. They're getting, you know, vintage collection, and I've been army building the white clone trooper from the Clone Wars line, because since Hasbro's not giving us any shock troopers or 501st, I'm going to see if I can get my friends or even myself start customizing some. So, I mean, $5 a pop, can't beat it.
Right. You know, it's I got my start online customizing, and I haven't done it in close to 10 years now, and I've missed it, and now that I'm not shooting photo archive pictures as much, I'm starting to get back into the habit again.
Well, you got to post some pictures, Dan.
I want to bring the website back, so I think that'll be my next step.
Awesome. All right.
Well, that's Return cool. of the Custom Alliance.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Cool deal. Hey, Dan. I came across a picture of you on Facebook recently from 2007, and you had a big smile on your face. I wonder why.
Oh, yeah? I had more hair back then.
Huh?
I had more hair back then.
Well, we all look different, you know, 5 years ago, but, my point was, it was just a great time to be a collector, and it was all over your face, I could tell.
Yeah, well, you know, I know what you're talking about. They had a Star Wars event that day, and my friend in that photo, he used to be a manager at that Toys R Us, so talk about having connections, let me tell you. So, we were there, you know, having a good time, and, you know, just enjoying being a fan and collecting the toys.
Good times.
Yeah. Which I'll still do. Don't get me wrong. I'll still do it.
Me too.
All right, guys. Well, what do you think, Sean? Have we pretty much come to the end of our discussion for the evening?
Well, I would have loved to have heard these guys' take on some of the other licensees, you know, besides Hasbro, but we just don't have the time for it. But, that would make
next show.
Yeah, sounds good.
Definitely.
And I think what we need to do is let them share, you know, maybe what they're doing, some contact information, maybe some of their... We already heard a little bit from Dan, maybe a return of the... His custom site sounds cool. Maybe tell us what they're into.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it, Dan.
Yeah, well, I mean, years ago I started a site which became known as thecustomalliance.com, and it was just my own work, and then eventually had guest customizers, which... last time I updated it was years ago, but I had like over 200 different people showing their galleries. And that got shut down last year, but I'm planning to bring it back at some point. Don't hold me to when. but I'd love to get back into the hobby again, and it's been far too long. I enjoyed it. I mean, like I said, that's what kind of got me into it in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Man, let us know when you do that.
I'll tell you what, mm-hmm. since you just mentioned, you know, we want to talk about more, I'll speak for myself and James, and I'll be happy to invite you guys onto our show where we can continue this conversation if you want.
Sounds good to me. Let us know. All right. I know Sean's loving that.
Yeah.
CurtoBurns.com, right?
That's right. Yep.
All right. We're there. Okay, well, Paul, definitely plug your website and anything else that you want to plug and contact information as well.
Sure. I, as you probably already know, I work for JediTempleArchives.com, and I can be reached at Paul@JediTempleArchives.com. And if you ever have a question or just a comment or want to correct me or anything like that, they're more than welcome. So please
let me know. If you want to yell at him for some of his views on Hasbro, right, Paul?
Yeah, I do get in trouble with my rants here and there, so. But we have a great comment section. We get tons of comments on our articles, so you can, you know, rip me a new one there if you want.
Be careful what you ask for, because you'll definitely get it.
And one nice thing I have to say about Paul and Jedi Temple Archives is, if there's toys to be found, they are among the first site to report it. And I all the time go check out JTA and say, okay, what's Paul finding? And then I know where to head out to when I take a little bit longer run.
Yeah, I totally agree with that one, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad we can be of that service to the community. It's our honor, really. Our privilege.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that information. It's allowed me to add a few figures to my own collection.
All right. Well, we definitely want to thank both of you guys for coming on with us, and we'll definitely have to get you guys on again in the future. If you want to get custom action figure news, all the regular places, of course, Posterous is about to shut down, so that won't be available. And with that will go our iTunes RSS feed. I'm not sure. I know it's coming the end of this month, so I don't know if it's actually happened yet or not, but... But be that as it may, it will always be on imperialshipyards.net, and as soon as we have our new RSS feed set up, we'll definitely get all that information out to you guys so that you can resubscribe to us. And we plan on re-uploading all of our previous shows onto there. We do have all of those, so we'll be able to do that. It's just going to take us time, right, Sean?
Yeah. If I wish I had a few more snow days, and maybe I could... Get that.
Yeah, you get a lot done on those snow days. I like it when you have those.
Yeah, now that I have some dedicated high-speed internet. But yeah, we're don't worry, folks. We're definitely not going anywhere, and we'll get all that wonderful iTunes stuff squared away.
All right, and if you want to get myself, it's lucasclones@gmail.com, and if you want to get the old Tamer
at imperialshipyards.net, as always, folks.
All right, well, once again, thank you for tuning in, and we will have this podcast uploaded as soon as possible. And once again, thank you to our guests for coming on, Dan and Paul. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me. Sorry I talked so much.
Oh, it's okay. All right. Like we said, what we had you on for. All right, well, that's going to do it, guys. And from Lucas Clones.
And Tamer.
We'll catch you guys again. May the Force be with you. Bye-bye.
You have just listened to Custom Action Figure News, a podcast by Lucas Clones and Tamer. Previous casts can be found by hitting the Custom Action Figure News button on the main page of ImperialShipyards.net or by visiting LucasClone.customs.blogspot.com. Let us know what you think, or send in your burning question via email to chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com or tamer@imperialshipyards.net. You could hear your email on the next cast. Custom Action Figure News is neither affiliated with, sponsored, nor endorsed by Lucasfilm or Star Wars, which are trademarks of their respective companies. Stay tuned for the next cast of Custom Action Figure News, dedicated to spreading the good news of customizing to the fans, by the fans, and for the fans.
All too easy.
Tamer needs to do a new outro, and I'm out. Doobie-doo.